Good evening, I'm Michael Carey. Welcome to the program. Tonight, we will be talking with candidates running for the Anchorage School Board. Joining me is KSK reporter Daisha Eaton. During this segment, we'll meet the candidates for Seat A, Betty Davis and Donald Smith. Each candidate will have a one-minute opening statement. Ms. Davis, we'll start with you.
Thank you very much. I'm running for the school board this time around. I served on the school board back in the 80s, and I left to go to the legislature. As many of you know, I lost an election in November, and now I'm home, and I have time to do some local work. And I decided, as I looked at the problems and things that was going on with the school district, there would be an opportune time for me to run for a school board seat. And for that reason, I filed for seat A. And you might want to know why I filed for seat A. I filed for seat A because seat B, I thought the person that was there was going to continue to hold that seat, and I did not want to file against her because she was the native holding that seat, and I wanted her to keep it if she wanted it. And I decided to file for seat A. And that is the reason for my running. I do believe I have a lot to offer to the school boards, and not only the school board within Anchorage, but throughout the state.
Mr. Smith.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here this evening. I should let my opponent know that I'm also an Alaska native, born here in 1939. I've served in a number of positions in elective office here in Anchorage. I served on the old borough assembly many years ago and then went to the state legislature. 8 or 10 years after that, I got involved in the charter writing the charter for the municipality of Anchorage, and then in 1975 I ran for the assembly, and I spent a little over 10 years as a member of the Anchorage Assembly. I ran here a few years ago, almost 3 years ago, for the school board, so I am now seeking my second term on the Anchorage School Board. I'm a fiscal conservative. I try to be involved. I've got a 100% attendance record as a member of the school board, and I've taken a very involved position on many, many issues that are facing this community. And we have some serious problems facing the Anchorage School District. We cut our budget by $25 million this year, and it looks to me like we're going to be facing $25 million cuts for the next 2 or 3 years and maybe on into the future. We can't keep up even with inflation, so we've got some serious issues that are coming to the table.
Thank you. Daisha Eaton will ask the first question.
First question for Ms. Davis. You ran for state senate, and you addressed that a little bit in your opening statement. Can you expand on, you know, running for state senate, then being defeated, and then why you're running for school board at this point?
I tried to state why I was running for the school board in my opening statement. I wanted that seat, but as my seat was changed and 70% of the district that I had represented for the past 3 years was taken away, 4 years had been taken away from me, it was a difficult race and I lost. And so now that I'm back here at the local level, I feel that I'm quite capable of running for a school board seat again, and I filed. I have lots of expertise to offer to the school district and this people. And education is my passion, and I have worked very hard with students, parents, and community to bring the community together to make sure that we provide quality education to all our kids.
Thank you.
That is why I'm running.
Great. And same question for you. You ran for state senate too and were defeated, and now you're running for the school board. Why run for school board when you expected to be senator? What's your motivation?
Well, I've always been, I think kind of like Betty, I've been a very involved citizen in this community. I was born here. I've sound crazy, but I used to go down and watch city council meetings back when I was in high school. So I've had kind of an interest in politics. I learned a long time ago you cannot be you can't speak out on issues that are going on in the community. You can do it, but you get your 2 minutes in front of the body that you want to speak to, and they almost instantly forget what you said. And if you got an opportunity to press that green or red button, it's important to me. And I feel very strongly about a lot of issues in this community, and therefore, you know, I got into a race I probably shouldn't have gotten into. I miscalculated numbers. That part of Anchorage is certainly not one for a Republican, and I didn't win. But I don't have a problem with the fact that I didn't get reelected, and fully intended to run for reelection to the school board.
Okay, I'll ask the next question. This will be for Don Smith and then Betty Davis. The school district leadership is going through some big changes. We have suddenly a new superintendent and we'll have several new school board members. What will you bring to leadership during this time of change? What direction do you intend to lead the district? Don Smith.
Well, you know, I'm going to be there's going to be three of us left on the school board after this election, if I'm reelected, that have any seniority. And so I guess I've become a senior member of the school board. I participated in the selection of Dr. Browder. I'm proud of the fact that we found him and picked him and made him our superintendent. I'm disappointed that he chose to, you know, to move on. I know the circumstances why. As many people in Anchorage know, there was illness in the family, and maybe to a certain extent it was a long way from home for him, and he realized that after he'd been here a while. But he's done a good job, and he's fulfilled everything that I was hoping I'd see, and I think the plans that he set in place are going to be continued forward, and I think we're going to have a better school district because of it. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Thank you. Betty Davis.
I have been watching what's going on about the school board superintendent and all, and I'm glad that that issue has been settled, and now that you've placed someone else to take that job, I think you can move along. But you are right. There's only going to be maybe three or four of the original school board members left once this election is over. And so there's a lot of work that we have to do. And I do feel that I'm quite capable of doing that work. I served on the school board for a total of 9 years consecutive, and then I came back after I had done a six-year stint in the Senate, in the House, and served another 2 years. So I've had a total of 11 years of experience as a school board member. And I feel with my 12 years on the House side, on the Senate side, and me chairing Health and Education and Social Services Committee, and then when we finally got the Education Committee, serving as vice chair of that also, and I was the chair of Health and Social Services Committee, and I have a lot of information that I can provide, and I know I will work hard to see that we get the funding that we need for education. I know that the school district has cut their budget by $25,000 for $25 million this year, but I don't think that's going to be the final number. I do believe that if we keep asking and encouraging our senators and representatives.
We'll have to leave it there and go to Dave Sheaton for the next question.
All right.
This is going to be back to you, Ms. Davis.
That's fine.
About the Common Core standards. Those establish what students should know or be capable of doing by certain grade levels. And right now they're trying to align them with the curriculum, as you may know. What needs to be done to make sure that teachers' lessons plans are aligned with those standards?
Well, actually, the administration has assumed that they're already working on that. I'm not sure if they are or not, but that is part of adopting the Common Core standards. And I want to say I'm very supportive of that, because our state does not adopt the Common Core standards, but the school district does. And when we have students coming from all over the United States and out of the states coming to our state, the one thing, if you have the Common Core, are 47 states have adopted those standards. And that means that the test that's going to be given to them would be the same test that we will be giving to our children here. So that is going to be helpful to the students that's coming here. I believe that the teachers have to have special training, that money has to be set aside. I don't know what's in the budget for it. I haven't been there, but I certainly will look into that if I am elected.
Mr. Smith, excuse me.
Sure, Mr. Smith, the Common Core standards, I'm sure you're familiar with this, and Dr. Browder, I've been following his work to try to align the district with Common Core standards. So what needs to be done on the school board side about this?
Well, this just got implemented, you know, a short time ago, so it's just a question of making sure that, you know, the programs are in place, the teachers are instructed to, you know, to get into the programs. I think it'll provide us with a good system of educating our students, but because we are a mixing bowl in Anchorage in terms of people from all over the, you know, not only the other lower 48 states, but the world, and it presents some really serious problems. So it's a good idea that we're bringing this kind of program together. We're the only community in the state that's attempting it at this time. So, but I think it'll work well for us.
Okay, I'll start with Mr. Smith this time. Mr. Smith, has the district done enough to guarantee school security?
Actually, I was at a meeting in Washington, D.C. not long ago, and that topic came up. And I wasn't surprised, I guess, because when I first got elected to the borough assembly many years ago, I assumed that Anchorage was behind this, you know, what was going on in the lower 48, and I went to some meetings outside and discovered that we were leading the nation in almost every aspect, whether it was road building or road maintenance or accounting systems for the district or for the city. And the same is true here in the Anchorage School District. We really are a leader in the country. I believe that we're in the top 10% of communities in America that are prepared for disasters like the shootings that took place in the lower 48. And I mean, it's been three or four weeks ago we had a report from administration that had gone through every building in the Anchorage School District and determined which buildings needed a little bit of extra fix up, and so we're really on top of it, I think.
Betty Davis.
I agree basically with Don's statement. I did hear the report that they gave, and I know that they have asked money in the bonding package that they asked the state to give money to do some security that need to be work that need to be done in some of the buildings. So I'm satisfied where we are, but it's something that always have to be looked at.
Back to Daisha.
And this will be for Ms. Davis. The state of South Dakota just passed a bill that allows schools to have an armed sentinel. A teacher, administrator, crossing guard, or someone else permitted will be authorized to carry a firearm at school after receiving proper law enforcement training. Would you favor similar legislation here in Alaska?
I'm not familiar with that piece of legislation that you're talking about, but if you know that everybody's going to know that they are carrying guns, I would be totally against that. We have a way that people can carry guns, and there's a way to do that, and people would not know that they were being carried, but that particular piece of legislation, I wouldn't introduce it in my state.
Mr. Smith.
How about you?
The high schools have the security people from the police department that are in the schools every day. And they have responsibility for the middle schools and grade schools should there be any kind of a problem. They're within just a few minutes of jumping in a car and going to a grade school and serving, you know, as authority. So I think we've got a good system. I don't think we need to arm teachers or arm principals or I mean, I can visualize somebody setting a gun in a desk drawer and not thinking much about it, and next thing you know, some kid reached in there and pulled the trigger and shot a bullet through the classroom. So, no, I like the idea of having the police officers with the weapons.
Okay, we'll start with Mr. Smith this time. The Alaska legislature is debating a proposed constitutional amendment that would repeal the ban on using public money for private education. Do you favor an amendment to the Constitution that would allow public parochial schools to become the beneficiaries of state money, perhaps through vouchers?
With qualifications, I do. I think that every child in the state of Alaska, in the Anchorage community, should be entitled to their fair share of the state resources that are placed in the state budget for education. And just because you're a student attending one of the Catholic high schools or grade schools in Anchorage or the Baptist Temple schools, I don't have a problem with that. Where I would draw the line, if I were to write the law, would be that no religious training can take place during the hours that the student was attending school in any of those institutions. To me, if you're a parent with four children and you happen to think that the Catholic education program is the one you want to have your child into, I don't see why that student and you as a not really taxpayers in Alaska, but you as a citizen should have the same resources spent on your child as is spent in the public school system. Plus, I think the bottom line, if you set up a system like that, you would be looking at really measurable competition. I mean, I think if the public school system had to compete and realize that kids could take their dollars and move to a school, that it would improve the district. It wouldn't deteriorate.
Okay. Betty Davis, the same question.
As far as the amendment itself, I'm against that. I do not want to change the amendment so that Public funds can go, public funds can go to private schools or religious schools. Public education is important, and if we did not have that, probably us sitting around this table wouldn't have the education that we have. Public school systems need to be enforced so that it can have the money that it needs. If we began to let the money go out to all the people that want to pull their kids out of school simply because they don't want them in the public school system, we would end up making our school system not work very well. The funding that we have already, it's coming to the state, that's coming through No Child Left Behind. That money, that's federal money there. And there is a way that private schools and religious schools or anyone else can take that money if the school is a failing school. They have the permission to move their child out of that program in the Anchorage School District to any other school, and the money will follow the child. But I will not want to change the Constitution.
Okay, let's go back to Daisha Eaton.
This will be for Ms. Davis first. What are the school board and the superintendent going to do to ensure that the legislature adequately funds Anchorage schools and that they aren't left behind in the future? As we said earlier, we had $25 million of cuts this time around, more are expected. So what can you do if you're elected to change that?
Well, I think there's plenty I can do, and I'll go back to the statement that Don had made. He said you can do more when you're in the room and being able to push the button than outside that. And I know that I have the capabilities to push for education funding. I've been doing it for the last 18 years in the legislature. And I know that they cut $25 million out of the budget. That's not the final number. And all the school board members and any parents and anyone else ought to be asking the school to give adequate, the governor, the legislators, to give adequate funding for public education. We have not funded it for 3 years now. It's been underfunded. We don't even meet inflation. And that's why they had to cut the $25 million out of the budget. One of the things that I'm going to push for and continue to push for is forward funding of education.
We're going to have to leave it right there.
And you, Mr. Smith, how do we address
Well, I testified at the House Finance Committee about a week and a half ago and expressed my concerns that there seems to me to be a deliberate attempt to cut education in this state. I don't know whether there's some NEA bashing going on or what's happening, but there seems to be some kind of an effort to try to put some pressure. We're going to cut teachers next year. I mean, there's just no question about it. We let a number of administrators go this year, but I see $25 million next year, $25 million after that, and if we don't get the per capita amount raised, we're going to drift off into some real problems, and we can't continue to, you know, we've brought the classroom down to, you know, in the low 20s for the elementary kids, and maybe up into a little bit over 20 students in the junior and senior high schools.
We're going to have to move on here, but we will stick with finances and we will stick with you. Mr. Smith, do you anticipate a Muni-style run-in between the district and the teachers over salaries, benefits, terms of employment, or is there an alternative as we begin to face the austerity you've described?
Well, my experience in all the years that I've spent in public life is, and particularly with educators, but there seems to be this feeling that those that are left survive, and you know, we're glad you were a member of our union when you were a teacher, but see you later. I mean, there's no effort to say, well, geez, we'll take a flat salary this year so we can save 20 positions or 30 positions or 40 positions. Cannibalistic isn't the right word, but I mean, there doesn't seem to be a lot of effort on the part of the unions to fight to at least save positions, and we're going to face some tremendous cuts.
Betty Davis.
Not being on the school board and not knowing where they are within the negotiations of that, I do believe that there's going to be some time that people are going to have to come together and make some compromises, because it might not be enough money to provide exactly what they asked in the first time around. But I think it's a situation that can be worked out. I think we should try to pay our teachers well as much as we can. And I do believe if we got to the point where we laid it on the table where they said, I want $150,000 more for each teacher or whatever they wanted. And we said, no, we can't provide that for you. These are the things that we're willing to do. I believe they'll look at that and try to work out a situation. I don't think they want to strike. I think they want to serve the children.
Let's return to Daisha Eaton.
And this will go to Mr. Smith first. As you know, a significant number of our kids are arriving at kindergarten with little or no pre-kindergarten or preschool behind them, and some of them are unprepared to learn. What can be done for them?
Well, under the budget scenario we're facing right now, I don't think there's a lot we can do. I mean, are we going to drift? Are we going to take money from, you know, the grades, you know, one or kindergarten through 12th grade and slide some of that over to do pre-K? I don't think so. I don't think you can take the kind of cuts the district has faced this year and last year and implement that kind of a program. I do not disagree with it, but it's kind of like you've got a household budget and you've only got so much money for groceries, and you're going to have to decide, you know, what you eat, and we have to be very careful. And there's big cuts that have occurred and are coming.
And Ms. Davis.
I don't know where Don is getting his numbers and all this money is not there that we can't afford to have pre-K. The state have to give the money, of course. The school district can't appropriate any money. They have to depend on the state, federal government, or the municipality. And one of the things that we want to do if we want to make sure that our kids get to school ready to learn is that we try to help them as early stage as we can. And pre-K is important. It does not have to be mandatory, but it should be offered. And most people will end up putting their children in there. I know when we did K for kindergarten, a lot of people said, that's too young for you to bring the kids into school. Now 90% of the people send their kids to school. So we can afford to do that, and it would be something that would help our children to have them ready to be able to read at the grade 3.
Okay, let's move on to another question. We'll keep with Betty Davis. What is exciting about Anchorage Schools?
Oh, I think there's a lot of good things exciting about Anchorage Schools. People give it a bad name, and I heard statements like only 30-some percent of the funding that they get for education is going into the classroom. That's totally not true. Because first of all, we have a statute that's been passed to say that 70% of the money that's provided to them for education have to go into the classroom. See, what some people are not adding in there is the teacher's salaries. Well, that's a part of that. And so that's why people are saying only 30% is getting into the classroom. But in order to have less than that going into the classrooms, you have to get a waiver from the Department of Education. And our city has never done that.
Mr. Smith.
I think the most exciting thing from my standpoint was the opportunities I've had to hand diplomas to graduating seniors. It's just thrilling to watch these kids come down that aisle and the excitement in their eyes, and you can just see that so many of them are headed for big things, and they've been taught everything in our school system. We do a good job. The only problem I think we've got in our school system is we got too much direction coming from the feds and too much direction coming from the state to a certain extent. I think that we have a very, very good school district. We try very hard. We're required to follow mandates, and so there's things we have to do that we maybe wouldn't like to, but it's a good system.
Daisha Eaton.
And this will be for Mr. Smith first. What's not getting and needs the school board's attention?
Say that again.
What's not getting the attention of the school board and needs it?
I think the school board is clearly given the opportunity to see everything that's going on in the district. I mean, just as one example, I came on the board 3 years ago, and I believe very strongly in career and technical education. I convinced the board within months after being on the board to place a bond issue for bonds for career and technical facilities. Did that the second year. We've raised the career and technical budget from $11 million to $19 million. We've got an aggressive, good program going. We're sending kids that are graduating from Anchorage High Schools, and they're going up on the slope as electricians and welders and making big, big dollars, and all because of that good program we've got going. So that's the big one for me.
Okay, and Ms. Davis, what do you think the school board could pay more attention to that they may not be paying attention to right now?
You know, it's hard to be on the outside looking in and saying, I don't know what they really are addressing. I haven't done school board work since the 80s. But I think there's a lot of things that need to be looked at, because so many of our children are in failing schools and we're not doing anything about that the way we should. There are other things like, okay, there are people that want more schools of choice. What can we do to improve that? And we can. So there are lots of things that people are asking for that the school district is not providing. It's not just the board itself. It says, okay, you want your kid to go to this program? If you can transport them there, you can get them there. Otherwise, we can't afford it. And the charter schools don't have room in the schools to bring their programs into the schools.
We're going to have to leave it.
We have to work on that.
We're going to have to leave it right
there.
There's
lots to work on.
We're going to have to leave it right there. Thank you, Ms. Davis. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Please stay with us. We will next hear from the candidates for Seat B.